The party backing Senator Bongo for president respects his decision to withdraw from the race, but where does this leave them? We'll ask the president of the PDDS, Greco Bélgica, about their next move. Analysts believe Go's withdrawal benefits the late dictator's son, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. A study shows the COVID-19 Omicron variant was already in Europe before it was first discovered in South Africa. And a new storm expected to enter the Philippines this Wednesday. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. For joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Topping the midday news, the party backing Senator Bongo's presidential bid respects his decision to withdraw from the race. The founder of the Pederalismo ng Dukong Dakilang Samahan, or PDDS, adds they will be meeting soon to plan their next move. Meanwhile, members of the PDP Laban faction led by Energy Secretary Alfonso Cusi hope Go will still change his mind. But if he doesn't, a party official says they could adopt someone else as their standard bearer.
Tatawagan kami ng mga kasakapartido po po. At sila is still hoping, no, because na paniniwala po sa na si Senator Bongo will be able to really carry on the program that the president has started.
We're also awaiting the formal withdrawal, if at all, if it happens. But just the same, because an announcement has been made, then we have to, the PDP Laban, I mean, has to meet and look at its options. Again, technically speaking, wala pong, dahil wala pong substitution, then we may... ang option namin is to adopt.
Supporters of Senator Bongo still hoping he will reconsider his decision to withdraw from the presidential race. Our correspondent Ina Reformina now joins us on the line for more details. Ina, go ahead.
KC's court of Senator Christopher Lawrence Go's supporters started to arrive before 8 o'clock this morning here at Plaza Roma, Intramuros, Manila, fronting the COMELEC main office. In a last-ditch effort to stop Go's impending withdrawal from the May 9, 2022 presidential derby, the groups include President Bongo 2022 and PDP Laban San Mateo Rizal. The Manila Police District says the crowd estimate is around 60 individuals. I spoke to several Go supporters and their stand is no withdrawal. They urge Go to proceed with his candidacy for president, insisting he is the only contender who can continue the legacy of President Rodrigo Duterte. They brought tarpaulins that read, Go Bongo, Tuloy ang pagbabago, Tuloy ang laban. Some of them are saying they will no longer cast their vote in the upcoming elections if Go does withdraw. Some, meantime, say they will respect his decision and wait for the president to announce who he will be endorsing in Go's stead if he pushes through with his withdrawal. So far, as of this time, we do not see any staff or advance party from the camp of Senator Go. We were told there is no advisory at the moment as to his official filing of withdrawal of GOC. Members of the media are staking out here as well, outside the main entrance of the Palacio del Gobernador. Like earlier filings for withdrawal of COC, the COMELEC Law Department will receive Go's formal withdrawal at the lobby. A receiving area was put up this morning for the purpose for an orderly conduct of filing. Consistent with COMELEC rules, Go will have to personally file his withdrawal. No electronic filing nor filing through authorized representatives shall be allowed. If you recall, KC, in substitution, filing via representative is allowed, but for withdrawal of COC, this is not the case. An area is also reserved at the lobby in case Go wants to address members of the media. Now, on September 8, the PDP Laban Cusi wing formally nominated Go for president, with President Duterte as his running mate. On October 2, Go file his COT for VP, withdraw the same or withdrew the same on November 13, and subsequently filed his candidacy for president. That is our latest election update. Ina Reformina, ABS-CBN News. KC?
Karen, you keep safe. Ina Reformina there joining us on the line. Back here in the newsroom. Some political analysts believe Goh's exit from the presidential race may give a big boost to the campaign of the late dictator's son, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Professors Clive Arguelles and Aris Arugay say Duterte and Marcos have the same supporter base.
The withdrawal of Senator Bongo has erased all confusion between supposedly Team Marcos Jr. and Team Duterte supporters or voters. If you look at social media for the past 2 weeks until today, there's been a lot of confusion, a lot of infighting amongst themselves. They started attacking one another, championing either Marcos Jr. or Duterte. I think we will see that subside and they all get to have this group hug again.
Marcos Jr. made it very clear that he is the successor to the legacies of Duterte. He, in his filing of candidacy, he made it clear that he's going to be continuing the projects and the policies of the current administration, even on the China issue.
Arugay, however, raises a major problem for Duterte as he makes a decision on who to formally support in 2022. See, Duterte has been criticizing most of the candidates in previous months, and that includes an attack on Marcos Jr., whom he has described as a weak leader.
I think he has criticized all the remaining candidates at some point. And this somehow causes a lot of cognitive dissonance, especially among voters. It's like, okay, you're telling us bad things about this candidate, and now you're telling me to support this candidate. So I do think that politicians get to dictate a lot of things toward Filipinos and Filipino voters. But I do think there are limits to that.
The Omicron variant has been present in Europe even before the first cases were reported in South Africa. That's according to new data from the Netherlands. The new variant was found in two Dutch test samples from November 19 and 23. These were days before South Africa officially reported its first cases on November 25. Both cases in the Netherlands do not have a travel history. Scientists also found cases of the Omicron variant in Belgium and Germany prior to November 25. The new findings may underscore the futility of sweeping travel restrictions imposed on Southern Africa after it reported its first cases. The Omicron variant has spread in over a dozen countries and territories now. The latest cases were detected in Japan and Brazil. An expert from South Africa believes the Omicron variant could outcompete the Delta variant in terms of transmissibility. Here's the full story.
The Omicron coronavirus variant detected in Southern Africa could be the most likely candidate to displace the highly contagious Delta variant. That's according to Adrian Puren, the acting executive director of South Africa's National Institute of Communicable Diseases, or NICD. He spoke to Reuters on Tuesday.
We thought, well, what will outcompete Delta? I think that's always been the question. What will outcompete Delta, in terms of transmissibility at least?
The discovery of Omicron has caused global alarm, with countries limiting travel from Southern Africa for fear it could spread quickly, even in vaccinated populations, and the World Health Organization saying it carries a high risk of infection. If Omicron proves to be more transmissible than the Delta variant, it could lead to a sharp spike in infections that could put pressure on hospitals. Puren said scientists should know within 4 weeks to what extent Omicron can evade the immunity generated by vaccines or prior infection, and whether it leads to worse clinical symptoms than other variants. Anecdotal accounts by doctors who have treated South African COVID-19 patients say Omicron appears to be producing mild symptoms, including a dry cough, fever, and night sweats, but experts have cautioned against drawing firm conclusions. Puren said it was too early to say whether Omicron was displacing Delta in South Africa. Anne von Gottberg, a clinical microbiologist at the NICD, said it looked like infections were rising throughout the country, but cautioned against linking that with Omicron just yet.
In fact, and some of those admissions might have started before we think the emergence of Omicron, and we also seen that there was an increase in influenza cases in South Africa just in the last month or so. And so we need to really be careful to look at the other respiratory infections and other respiratory diseases.
We are deeply disappointed.
Leaders in South Africa have criticized swift travel restrictions by the United States and other nations as unfair and crippling to their tourism and other sectors. South Africa has reported close to 3 million COVID-19 infections during the pandemic and over 89,000 deaths, the most on the African continent.
Back. Here's still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The party backing Senator Bongo for president respects his decision to withdraw from the race, but where will that leave them? Analysts believe Go's withdrawal benefits the late dictator's son, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. A study shows the COVID-19 Omicron variant was already in Europe before it was first discovered in South Africa. And a new storm expected to enter the Philippines this Wednesday. And we're going to talk now with the president of the Pederalismo ng Dugong Dakilang Samahan, or PDDS, Greco Belgica. Of course, we're going to talk about the withdrawal of Senator Bongo from the presidential race. People are still calling it impending because he has not formally withdrawn from the race. Greco, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. And thank you for having me here. And good afternoon to everyone.
Okay, so some people are calling it impending, hindi pa daw sigurado, pero sa pagkakaalam ninyo dyan sa PDDS, is it for certain that he will be withdrawing from the race?
Well, nothing's final, ano? It hasn't then been done formally, and we're hoping na hindi matuloy kasi, you know, the party, the machinery is all organized. In fact, I was at the north, and I came from the south and Visayas just last week, organizing and strengthening our alliances and the party. So nothing's final right now.
I know for a fact that you were in Mindanao, I think it was last week, and you were with the senator busily campaigning. When did you first find out that he was going to withdraw from the race?
Well, it has been an open... It's not been a secret, diba? We've been talking about it, and he's been saying his... talking about his apprehensions about it, but we were all, you know, we were praying and we're just moving forward until, and we were preparing for the campaign and until yesterday. So now I had to rush back here in Manila so that we can set up a meeting with the party and with our principals, President Senator Bongo, to chart our next steps.
Mm-hmm. He has already said many times yesterday when he announced his withdrawal na mabigat po sa kalooban niya. Parang nag-aagaw po in so many words yung kanyang katawan sa kalooban niya. I mean, he's not really there mentally, physically, everything. It's just really such a... he's been conflicted the past couple of weeks at the very least. Now, if you're still hoping for him to run, would you want to have that kind of a candidate as your standard bearer na hindi buo ang loob sa pagtakbo? Go ahead.
Well, you know, that's because things happened too fast, so fast, in such a short period of time. It was not planned, you know. He was running for vice president and suddenly had to run for president. Tapos the pressures of work, you know, sa Senate, Malasakit Center, plus his work with the president and the executive department, plus the fact na medyo na personal talaga yung tama nitong conflict dahil... you know, masyadong personal. So, masakit sa damdamin at mabigat. Mm. So, when, in fact, we also know na, you know, lagi ko sinasabi na, you know, let's just let things fall into place. Wala naman tayong ginawa masama, wala naman tayong inorganizar ng tao, lahat ng tao lumapit sa atin, tinulungan natin. You know, and we're doing this for the country and to further the mission that the president has started to fight corruption, drugs, etc. So sabi ko, sige lang, tuloy lang tayo and things will fall into place.
Ano ba ang tumatak sa inyo, Greco, anong tumatak sa iyo nung sinabi na sa inyo mismo ni Senator Bongo, pag nagkwekwentuhan kayo about his plans and his apprehensions, ano sa mga sinabi niya sa inyo ang tumatak kung bakit naririto na tayo sa ganitong klaseng sitwasyon?
Well, yun nga po, ano, yung conflict. Sabi niya, parang nagtatalo ang isip, puso ko, damdamin sa ginagawa ng katawan ko. Masyadong masakit. Masakit, yun ang sabi niya, masakit at malalim. Dahil, he loves the president, he loves the family. And politics is, hitting the family hard. You know, we're supposed to be one, we're supposed to be united, not only as a blood family, but as a political family that's really founded on the relationships of the president, Senator Bongo, and us, yun talaga po hindi inaasahan yung mga bagay na mag-escalate sa ganito. We're here where we are today.
Nagsimula ba ho yan doon sa deklarasyon ni Mayor Sara na tumakbo?
Well, that was the final result. And yung mga usap-usapan noon, and it came by surprise because everybody was expecting her. And we were pushing for her to run for president because she was topping the survey. She was well accepted. She was loved. She is loved by the Filipinos. And we really need someone who will continue the advocacies and the programs of the president. And obviously, siya po ang gusto ng tao. So the party was rooting for her. Also, and now even that she's running for vice president, the party is still rooting for her. We were campaigning for Bongo, Sara Duterte, and President Duterte, Greco Velica, and Slate po, no? So now things changed. That's why I'm here. We need to meet with the president and Senator Bongo and the entire party to chart our next steps.
You were saying a while ago that you were rooting for Mayor Inday Sara. You still continue to support her. But does this necessarily mean that you were actually in talks prior to her declaration that she will gun not for the presidency but the vice presidency?
No, not directly to Ma'am Sara. We had common friends, and we have common friends, and so that's how we, and publicly we declare her to be our candidate. Kasi nga, the PDDS has always looked at her as one of our inspiration advisors, also together with the President, Senator Bongo. From inception, from the time that it was conceptualized and registered in 2018.
And because of her decision, would you call this a betrayal, not just of the family, but the political family, as you put it a while ago?
No, we can't call it that. It was political. It was a political choice for her, and that was her choice, and we support her. Mahal namin ang Pangulo, mahal ng Pangulo.
You said a while ago that you are going, you rushed back here to Manila to determine your next steps. What is crucial to you now in order for you to determine those next steps?
It's the meeting that will be held by the party together with the president's direction and the Senator Bongo's direction. Yan po ang pinaka-crucial sa amin lahat. I'm talking, calling each other, talking with the Senator Bongo for next step. So yan po, ang crucial doon is yung direction po ng Pangulo at ni Senator Bongo sa partido.
So susunod lang po ang PDDS kung saan po kayo sasabihan na pumunta ni Pangulo at ni Senator Bongo?
Very weighty po ang kanilang direction. Of course, the party has to talk about it as a party and everybody has to agree. Their heart has to be into it and their work has to be into it. So we will talk about it as a party. But again, very weighty po ang magiging direction at sasabihin po ng ating Pangulo at ni Senator Bongo.
But Senator Bongo and President Duterte, they're not the president of PDTS. You are. So if you look at the things as they stand now, and also if you recall what the president said, that he is not going to endorse the candidacy of Bongbong Marcos, where does this leave you now? What's the natural progression of PDTS?
Yeah, that's why exactly what I'm saying. This is a political party. We don't decide by ourselves. And this is a political party that was organized in 2018 to pursue the aspirations of the president even after he has finished his term. And was inspired by him and his leadership. That's why mahalaga po na makapag-usap kami at ma-detalye. You know, all options are open right now, no? Pero it's premature for me to talk about anything that we have not agreed on. You know, the whole party will be sitting down talking about it with the president and Senator Bongo. To, you know, and then we will come up with a formal and final statement.
What do you think about what some analysts have been saying since the announcement yesterday that the withdrawal only benefits Marcos Jr.?
Well, they can say that, diba? Because Ma'am Sara is with them. And we'll see, you know. Almost 6 months pa ang kampanya. And, you know, again, as I've said, mas mahalaga po sa amin yung gagawin namin sa susunod para mahalaga sa amin may pagpatuloy po ang mga sinimula na namin ngayon sa ating pamahalaan.
At dahil nakapagsalita na rin ng presidente, sinabi niya na hindi niya susuportahan si Ferdinand Marcos Jr., ito ba ang gagawin din ng PDTS that you will prevent a Marcos presidency from happening?
It's premature to talk about that right now, ma'am, kasi mag-uusap ako ang partido. And kung ano sabihin ng Pangulo at Senator Bongo at pag-agrihan ng partido po, ay siyang po ang aming gagawin. Just give us time to set things up and sort things out po.
Nagulat po ba kayo sa mga takbo ng pangyayari?
Well, yes, nagulat po ako kasi although alam ko na ganun po, merong mga ganung mga baka mangyari. Of course, inaasahan po namin na the decision would have been otherwise. But, you know, things are the way they are today. So we just have to hurdle it, handle it, dahil wala namang problema na hindi nadadaan sa maayos sa usapan.
But you, as you said a while ago, elections, that's what, 6 months away from where we are right now. But, you know, those 6 months will go by so fast, will come by so fast. When do you hope to come up with a solid plan, get the campaign back on track? When is that meeting going to happen with the president and Senator Bongo?
Well, anytime soon. You know, we've been communicating since yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's just that kailangan formally ng usapan at madetalye. Ganun po, anytime soon. That can be today or tomorrow.
Gaano kalaki yung impact nito sa kampanya ninyo?
Malaki po kasi nawala yung presidente, di ba? So that's why it's a very important decision and very important. It's a very important meeting that should happen. And you know, so ganun po, malaki po talaga, malaki po. And you know, the party, the structure, the machinery is already there. Kung ano man po ang at pinalalakas pa, kung ano man po ang magiging desisyon ng partido, ay lock, stock and barrel po yun na pupunta at sasama doon sa ituturo ng ating liderato.
How difficult will it be to get things back on track?
Siguro madali lang naman po yan dahil organized naman po kami, nakatayo yung ating mga leaders at ang communications naman po is within reach. So madali lang po yan.
All right. I've been talking to some analysts, Greco, and they all have been saying that the team to beat at this point is Bongbong Marcos and Sara Duterte. Do you believe the same thing?
Nakikita naman natin sa surveys and lalo, I just came down from the north and talaga malakas po si Senator Bongbong Marcos and Sara, of course, Ma'am Sara, talaga naman ikinakampanya namin yan at talaga naman malakas po yan. So yes, at this point, very strong po ang kandidatura nila dalawa.
And because things are where they are right now, what do you think are the options available for you? I understand you've been repeatedly saying that, you know, wait for the final decision of the party, but let's talk about the options here. The various scenario. Is it to fold into another party? Is it to form an alliance? Is it to adopt another presidential candidate?
All those options are open right now, ma'am. That's allowed by the party rules and constitution. It's just that sino or ano ang gagawin or sino ang i-determine na lamang po in a little while. The answer will be coming out soon.
But it cannot be like something so opposite from the ideals of the party, right? So kung yun po ang iisipin, saan kayo mas nalalapit?
Well, you know, this is a principled party, no? Meron kaming kartilya dito. Hinahanap namin dito yung Kristiyanong makabayan. Pangalawa, yung someone who will stand up for justice and law. Number three, mahalaga po sa amin yung katapatan sa tipanan, sa usapan, at sa samahan. Yun, mahalaga po sa amin yun. Pang-apat po, yung pag-una sa kapwa, pagmamahal sa kapwa, gaya na pagmamahal sa sarili. At lastly, yung pag-forward or pag-further ng federalism at yung laban sa korupsyon, droga, kriminalidad, at terorismo. Those people who can continue and can stand on those principles are welcome to join the party.
Oh, what about?
Or will be endorsed is open for the party's endorsement.
Will the party endorse someone who has standing disqualification cases lodged against them?
I think there's only one candidate who has that right now, and answering that is giving out too much. Just let us, just allow us to formulate things and get things settled, ma'am, and we'll come out to a more concrete answer.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. We appreciate your candor, nonetheless. Greco Belhica there, president of PDDS. Maraming salamat po. Take care and you
salamat
keep safe.
Salamat po, ma'am. God bless. God bless the Philippines.
Me too. Philippines again lands at the bottom of Bloomberg's COVID Resilience Index. For the third straight month, the Philippines ranked last in a list of 53 countries based on indicators spanning from virus containment, restarting travel, and vaccination coverage. But Health Undersecretary Mirna Cabotaje says Bloomberg's data on Manila's vaccination may not be up to date. Government is currently on its third and last day of a massive inoculation campaign where it aims to vaccinate 9 million Filipinos.
It depends on the time the comparison was made. Initially, we had very scarce resources. That is why we needed to prioritize certain geographic areas. Late October, November, our vaccines came in better numbers. We are anticipating that we will be able to reach the 9 million. But with the 2.5 million accomplishment on day one, we expect to equal or even surpass it yesterday. Our figures are not yet in. We were hoping more jabs would have been administered yesterday, it being a holiday and provided more opportunity for the vaccinees to go to the vaccination centers.
The UAE topped Bloomberg's COVID Resilience Index for November, saying life there has basically returned to normal, rounding out the top five are Chile, Finland, Ireland, and Spain. On the flip side, Poland, Malaysia, Vietnam, and Indonesia joined the Philippines in the bottom five. Malacañang has repeatedly dismissed Bloomberg's Resilience Index as biased. New COVID cases in the Philippines fall to their lowest level this year. The country reported just 425 new infections Tuesday, the fourth straight day that the daily tally was below 1,000. Active cases also dropped to 15,000, the lowest since June of last year. Guido David, the Okta Research Group, notes average infections in the National Capital Region have decreased to around 200. He believes it's possible that figure could further slide by 100 by Christmas, but that will still depend on the possible effects of the new Omicron variant. The World Health Organization believes the Philippines doesn't need to reimpose its face shield policy yet, despite the threat of the Omicron variant. The WHO's representative to the Philippines says they are still looking into how the new variant is transmitted.
So I think it will be premature now to go there and say we need to reintroduce face shields. because we also know that there is significant public discontent on the mandatory use of face shields. So it's better to get public compliance with the measures that are there and take a risk-based approach to reanalyze whether we need to go into the use of face shields or not.
The WHO statement comes as the Philippines' COVID task force considers bringing back the mandatory use of face shields when indoors.
In closed settings, no? Sa closed settings kasi yung pinag-uusapan yung kung kailangan, no? But one thing is for sure, based on our latest IETF resolutions, employers and establishments may require face shields for the protection of customers. We'll have to look where this goes if magkakaroon ng Omicron.
An infectious diseases expert recommends Filipino children as young as 5 be vaccinated against COVID-19. Dr. Ronchi Insulante says regulators should approve the vaccination of 5 to 11-year-olds if the Philippines is going to expand face-to-face classes amid the Omicron threat. He also supports the proposal to mandate vaccinations with a renewed threat of a variant-driven surge.
We need to review again the vaccines that are available that are permitted for 5 to 11 years old. We already approved the 12 to 17. I think we need to review. Are we going to give? Can we give the vaccines to the 5 to 11 years old? If you look at countries where this vaccine has been already approved, I think they are now into fast-tracking the vaccination, not only for adults, but also for children.
The province of Pampanga ramping up inoculations on the final day of government's massive immunization campaign. Our very own Gracie Rutao now joins us with the latest. Gracie, go ahead.
Good day, Carmina. The Pampanga Task Force on COVID-19, led by Governor Dennis Delta Pineda and Vice Governor Lilia Nana Pineda, administered COVID-19 vaccines to thousands of residents in Pampanga from November 29 until today, December 1. The influx of people who want to get vaccinated continues up to the last day of the National Vaccination Day. The mega vaccination site is at Robinson Star Mills, Pampanga. Yesterday, they also catered to drive-through vaccination for booster shots. Aside from this, the province has 6 other vaccination sites in the towns of Santo Tomas, Ninalig, Santa Ana, Yubao, San Luis, and at the regional headquarters of the Police Regional Office 3 in Camp Oliva, City of San Fernando, Pampanga. Also in some medical facilities like the Pampanga Medical Specialist Hospital, Green City Medical Center, Mother Teresa of Calcuta Medical Center, and Our Lady of Mount Carmel Medical Center. For the first day, the province was able to administer a total of 74,869 doses. This is already 62% of its targeted 120,021 doses for the 3-day vaccination drive. DOH Region 3 Regional Director Corazon Flores said the region's target is 500,000 daily doses or 1.5 million by December 1. And that's the latest here in Pampanga. Back to you.
Thanks a lot, Gracie. Take care and you keep safe. A panel of expert advisors to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration on Tuesday narrowly voted to recommend the authorization of Merck's antiviral pill to treat COVID-19. The FDA's Antimicrobial Drugs Advisory Committee voted 13-10 in favor of molnupiravir's authorization. The panel had discussed concerns the drug could cause the virus to mutate, as well as its potential to cause birth defects. Both FDA scientists and Merck have suggested the drug should not be recommended during pregnancy. Molnupiravir was found to be 30% effective in reducing the risk of severe COVID or death. A group of families of drug war victims have written to the International Criminal Court to oppose the request of the Philippine government to defer its probe on the drug war killings in the country. In its letter, the group belied government's claim it is already conducting investigations on deaths related to the war on drugs. The families say it's insufficient. They also point out President Rodrigo Duterte himself or other high-ranking officials are not among those being investigated by Philippine authorities. National Security Advisor Hermógenes Esperón pushing back against the Senate's move to slash the budget for the Anti-Insurgency Task Force, or NTF-LCAC. This after the Senate Finance Committee moved to reduce the budget to just 4 billion pesos from the proposed 28 billion pesos and have it realigned for pandemic response. Esperon, however, says local chief executives are expressing dismay over this decision.
Malaki talaga ang epekto nito. Kaya kami ay ang nagsasabi na mismo na kailangan ibalik yung pondo ay ang mga gobernador na kung kanino natin ibinigay yung pondo at mga city mayor. Ganon din naman yung mga municipal mayors at saka mga barangay kapitan. Kasi diretso na sa kanila yun. Alala, tandaan natin na yung 28 billion ay hindi pondo ng NTF-LCAC yan. Yan ay pondo ng barangay development program at diretso yan na napupunta sa barangay. Hindi naman politikahan ito. This is all about ending the local communist armed conflict. Na kung mawala ang conflict na ito, ay makikinabang ang buong Pilipinas.
A weak explosion recorded Tuesday on Mount Pinatubo. A plume from the explosion was detected by a Japanese satellite. The Tokyo Volcanic Ash Advisory Center reported it to the Philippines' Volcanology Institute. FIVOX confirmed it was a phreatic eruption driven by heated groundwater. It now cautions people against venturing near Pinatubo. The volcano's June 1991 eruption killed over 800 people. An update on the weather now. A tropical cyclone, which is seen to enter the Philippine area of responsibility today, intensifies into a severe tropical storm. Weather forecaster Anna Clarin now joins us with the latest. Anna, what more can you tell us?
Yes, good afternoon, Ms. Christina. And as of 10 a.m. today, this severe tropical storm Nyato was estimated at around 1,275 kilometers east of southern Luzon, and it has maximum sustained winds of 100 kilometers per hour near the center and gustiness of up to 125 kilometers per hour. It is continuously moving north-northwestward at 15 kilometers per hour. And as of the moment, or based on our latest forecast, it is expected to enter our area of responsibility this afternoon or this evening and will be named Odette. And based on the current forecast track, the duration of this tropical cyclone in the PAR region will be short, and it may leave the PAR within the next 24 to 36 hours of entry. And however, considering the eastward shift of the recent forecast track, there is a possibility that this severe tropical storm Nyato may not enter the PAR. That's why we advise the public to continue monitor for updates, and it will be issued at around 4 p.m. this afternoon. And for our weather forecast, we have northeast monsoon affecting the northern and central Luzon, bringing cloudy skies with rains over Batanes, Cagayan, Isabela, Quirino, and Aurora. While here in Metro Manila and the rest of Luzon, we are expecting a partly cloudy to cloudy skies with isolated light rains, also due to the northeast monsoon. While in Visayas and Mindanao, we are expecting a generally fair weather condition aside from isolated rain showers, mostly in the afternoon or in the evening. And that's the latest from PAGASA. This is Anna Cloren reporting.
Thanks a lot, Anna. Take care and you keep safe. We're going to take another break now. Still ahead, another deadly school shooting in the U.S. Dateline Philippines will return after this short break with the details of that story. Stay with us. Back with World News, a shooting at a high school in Michigan in the U.S. leaves at least three students dead. Eight others, including a teacher, were wounded in that attack. Police say a 15-year-old second-year student opened fire at his school using a semi-automatic handgun. The suspect is now under police custody. According to a gun control group, this is the deadliest school shooting so far this year. Before the incident, there had been 138 shootings in schools across the United States in 2021, 26 of which resulted in at least one fatality. Honduras is set for its first woman president after the ruling party candidate concedes in the presidential election. Xiomara Castro will become the first female leader of the struggling Central American country, ending her opponent's 12-year hold on power. Outgoing President Juan Orlando Hernandez has become deeply unpopular, with his two terms dogged by scandals and corruption allegations. Castro's victory will see the left return to power after the ousting of her husband, former President Manuel Zelaya, in a coup in 2009. But she faces a huge challenge as Honduras grapples with joblessness, crime, corruption, and a severe drug problem. In business, global airlines bracing for a fresh hit due to the Omicron variant. The strongest warning came from Middle East carrier Emirates Airlines. It said the travel restrictions are being imposed during peak season and will likely deal a major blow to the industry. Several countries, including Japan, the U.S., Britain, and Israel, have imposed travel curbs in order to slow the spread of the new variant.
So I would say probably by the end of December, we'll have a much clearer position. But in that time, December is a very important month for the air travel business. And if that is lost, or the winter is lost to a lot of carriers, there will be significant traumas in the business, certainly aviation business, and the periphery of that.
British budget airline EasyJet also sees decreased demand as the resurgence of the virus in parts of Europe prompted customers to rethink their holiday plans.
We've seen that there's been an impact on the more of the bookings that are the closest now in the next few weeks of departures. But I think that is just because people are taking the opportunity perhaps to transfer out and rebooking them into the early part of next year. But it's too early to tell what this will stabilize at. And it's not the same drop-off in the bookings that we have seen from previous times when restrictions has been introduced.
Philippine factory activity hits an eight-month high in November as demand expanded and output neared stability after Metro Manila was placed under alert level 2. It came in at 51.7, that's up from October's 51 points, still signaling expansion. IHS Markit says the relaxation of COVID-19 restrictions prompted increased client demand. But it flagged several risks stemming from global material shortages and delivery delays. Meanwhile, most countries in the ASEAN region saw marginal declines in factory output. Indonesia's manufacturing sector took quite a huge hit as demand and output growth eased from the record rates seen in October. The Philippine Central Bank eyeing offline digital payment solutions to enable transactions without the need for internet connection. The central bank says the move is meant to boost financial inclusion in off-grid areas. BSP Governor Benjamin Diokno adds, while reliable internet is necessary, the central bank should also pursue solutions to allow offline payments. In October, the BSP said 1 in 5 payments in the Philippines is now done digitally. The use of digital wallets skyrocketed last year as quarantine restrictions due to the pandemic led many businesses to sell goods online, while consumers also welcomed the ease of paying through apps. In sports, despite having two former most valuable players, the Brooklyn Nets found themselves relying on a role player to beat the New York Knicks. James Johnson made two clutch free throws with about 2 seconds left to lift the Nets to a 112-110 victory. Brooklyn's two superstars, Kevin Durant and James Harden, put on a show, combining for 61 points and 17 assists. The Nets improved to 15-6, while the Knicks slipped to 11-10. Argentina's Lionel Messi wins his 7th Ballon d'Or award for the best player in the world. Messi joined Paris Saint-Germain on a free transfer from Barcelona after finishing as La Liga's top scorer with the Spanish club. Messi won the award for 4 straight years, from 2009 to 2012, and then again in 2015 and 2019. Before we go, Google Philippines announces it will not accept election advertisements for next year's polls. The tech giant says its policy would cover election ads purchased through Google Ads, Display, Video 360, and shopping platforms that advertisers intend to place on Google, YouTube, and partner properties. also included are ads that promote or oppose any political party or the candidacy of any person or party. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.